Inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message. And I want to ask you also, if you have your Bible with you, to turn to Proverbs 31, because I'm going to reference a few verses that are not in your outline a little later. And if you have that place marked, you'll be able to follow along. I'm going to ask all that are able to do so to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. The influence of a godly mother can be seen in Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant, she ups bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for they're all clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for a bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate when he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Let us pray. Gracious God, Lord, help us today to be thankful for the influence of a godly mother. And Lord, I want to pray for every mother that is here today and every mother-to-be that is here today, that God, that you would use these words today to inspire them, to encourage them, to build them up, and let them see how precious they are in the sight of God and in the sight of God's people. Bless now, God, the reading and the preaching of your word. We'll make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. A saintly mother in the neighborhood was called Mama Newton by all the children. Mama Newton was the mother that all the other kids in the neighborhood wish that she was their mother. And with all of this going on in her life, you wouldn't suspect that every night by her bed, she was weeping and crying and praying for her son. You see, her son had become rebellious as a teenager. Her son had ran away from home. Her son had joined the merchant marines, become a sailor, and had opted in to a vile, evil, wicked lifestyle that broke Mama Newton's heart. So every night she prayed for him. Every day she prayed for him. And this went on for days and months and years. His daddy disowned him. Even his closest friends disavowed him. That is the kind of vile man that he had become. No one wanted to associate with him. Yet his mother prayed and prayed and prayed. And by the grace of God, one day the news came that her son John had given his heart and life to Jesus Christ. Not only had he given his heart and life to Jesus Christ, but he changed his life around and began to serve God, began to work for God, and was called to be a preacher of the gospel and became a great preacher. And yet, I don't know any of his sermons, but when he was 54 years old, he wrote a hymn that is the most recognizable, most requested, greatest hymn of all time, Amazing Grace. You see, Amazing Grace was written by John Newton, whose mother had prayed for him all of those years. Now, folks, that was 250 years ago, and yet today, when I conduct a funeral, more people request Amazing Grace to be sung than any other song. Think about that. This man that was so vile, his friends didn't even associate with him, didn't want to be known as being a friend of his. How his life changed. And what caused that change? It was the influence of a godly mother. And so today I want us to look at four characteristics that are mentioned here in Proverbs 31. And by the way, I don't have time to go into it today, but this is a very interesting piece of scripture. In the Hebrew alphabet, there are 22 letters. This here is an acrostic poem, where every line starts with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It begins with Aleph, and it ends in Taf, the first and the last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And so let's look at these four characteristics. The first thing I want you to see is her worth. A godly woman, a godly mother, her worth is unequaled. Notice here, she is a woman of virtue. In verse 10, a wife of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies. I'd like for you to underline that word, noble character. It's actually one word in the original Hebrew text, and it means worthy or valiant. And it was used to describe the reward that was given to a wounded soldier for his sacrifice. And so here he's talking about a person that is worthy of respect. As a matter of fact, Boaz had this to say about Ruth in chapter 3 and verse 11. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Let me tell you how you can tell a godly woman, how you can tell a godly mother, and that is she has noble character. She is a person of virtue. And by the way, Ruth became the great-grandmother of King David. And, of course, King David is the ancestral forefather of Jesus Christ. You see, God blesses and uses godly women. Let me tell you what America needs today. You know, there's a candidate out there, and he's got a slogan, Make America Great Again. I'm going to tell you how to do that. What we need is godly mothers will make America great again. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs 12:4, it says, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown. What we need today is women of virtue, women who make a stand for God. Now, what I'm going to say may be offensive to some, but I don't mean it that way. I just want to make an observation, okay? And that is, when I was a teenage boy, most teenage boys, they were just dogs, okay? I mean, that's just what they were. But we live in a society today where you don't have to worry as much today if you have a little girl as you have to worry if you have a little boy. Because you see, so many of the girls today have learned the power of sex. And there are now many of these young girls that are predators who go after it. You think about it. If you're a young boy today and some girl says something against you, who's going to believe the guy? And you don't believe what I'm saying is true. You just talk to the youth workers. You just talk to the youth workers. And what used to be in our society was, is the guys were the dogs and the gals, they maintained the moral purity of our culture. And I'm telling you, we live in a society today where nobody is guarding the hen house. We need godly mothers. We need godly women. Now, let me just tell you how this can work in your life. A college student went off to college, had his dorm, he's away from home. And so you know what he does? He decorates his dorm window, dorm walls with indecent pictures. I don't have to tell you what that looks like. Well, one day he received a surprise visit from his mother. And she walks in and sees all of these indecent pictures on the dorm wall. And even though she sees them, she doesn't say a word. She visits with her son, and when she gets ready to leave, she takes a picture of Jesus and pins it in the middle of the wall in the center of all those other pictures. Doesn't say a word. Just sticks a picture of Jesus. 3 months later, she makes another surprise visit to the dormitory. And when she gets into his room, you know what she finds? There's only one picture on the wall. The picture she pinned on the wall 3 months earlier. You see, that's the influence and the power of a godly mother. And what does America need today? We need godly mothers that will influence their family for the things of God. Notice here, she's not only a woman of virtue, but she is a woman of value. In verse 10 and 12, it says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And yet the truth of the matter is I meet a lot of godly mothers and a lot of godly women, and they don't value themselves very much. That is, they don't think that they contribute much to society. But the Word of God says that a godly mother, a godly wife, a godly woman is worth than all of the precious jewels, than diamonds and gold and silver and rubies and emeralds. That's how valuable a godly woman is to God. Abraham Lincoln said it this way, behind every great man is a great mother. D.L. Moody, one of the greatest evangelists who has ever lived, said this, all that I have ever accomplished, I owe to my mother. And so we see here the value of a godly woman. Now, our society may not value that, our culture may not value that, but God values that, and God's people value that. And then secondly, her work is unmatched. Notice here, it's a desired work in verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. Notice the work that a godly mother, a godly woman does, she does out of pleasure. She does it because she wants to. She doesn't do it because it's a duty. She doesn't do it because it's a something she has to do. She does it because it's something she wants to do. You see, a godly woman loves God. A godly woman loves the family that God gave her. Not only that, but notice here, it is a devoted work in verse 15. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. In other words, she demonstrates sacrifice. She goes to bed late. She gets up early. She's over there. She's working. She's serving. She is sacrificing. She does all of this with great devotion. Now, those of you that are moms, you probably already know this, but let me put it into context for you. Susan Long has written a book called Women with Children. And here's what she has went out and calculated, that if you are a mom, you spend 754 hours a year doing work that women that don't have children don't have to do. And why do they do that? They do that because they're devoted. And then number three, it is a dedicated work. In verse 19, she stretches out her hand to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. Here's a picture of perseverance. Here's a picture of patience. Here's a picture of the work of a mom that she provides for her family. And many times this dedication and this sacrifice that goes on is sometimes only recognized on days like today, down here. But God recognizes it every day. And talking about recognizing it on Mother's Day, I read a story about two little boys. And they had saved up their money, and they wanted to buy Mom a Mother's Day gift themselves. They didn't want Dad to go buy it and give it to them, to Mom, for her. They wanted to buy this with their money. So they saved up their money. They went down to the florist, and they saw this beautiful bouquet of flowers, but it was too expensive. They didn't have enough money. And so they found this little house plant with a pretty ribbon on it, so they bought that instead. And they brought it and they gave it to their mom. Well, moms, you know what she did. She just loved it, right? She just loved it because they had used their money, they went and picked it out, and they had given it to her. I told you it's a house plant, right? It had a pretty ribbon on it. Did I tell you why they picked it out? They picked it out because of the words that were on the ribbon. You know what the words were? Rest in peace. Rest in peace. And so she asked him, she said, well, this is beautiful. Why did you pick this out? I said, well, Mom, it said something in there about peace. And you're always saying you wish you could have a little peace and quiet. Number three, her wisdom is unfeigned. Notice there is wisdom and what she speaks. Verse 26 says, she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Now, folks, wisdom doesn't mean that you know a lot of stuff. We live in the information age today. With the internet, you can Google and find out anything. But you see, knowledge is not the same thing as wisdom. Information is not the same thing as wisdom. Wisdom is to know the will of God and the Word of God and how to apply it to your everyday life. You see, that's one of the problems that's wrong with public education today is kids learn a bunch of facts, but they don't know what to do with what they learn. And listen, your mom may not have a college degree, but that doesn't mean she's not wise, okay? Because wisdom comes from God. And notice here, you can tell it. How many of you could give a testimony today that when you were a kid, your mom used to say certain things over and over and over again, and you thought, oh, I got the dumbest mother in the world. And then you grew up and you think, golly, Mom really was smart. She was wise. This past week, we had a great man of God's funeral, Reverend Ursel Robinson. But his granddaughter got up and she said something that was pretty profound. She said, you know what? When we went to church, said Grandpa did the preaching, but says when we got home, it was Grandma that did the preaching. Listen, folks, if there's anything good about my children, my wife deserves the credit for it. Okay? You understand that our whole life, I've been a pastor ever since I was a pastor before we got married. And so that's all my family knows. But you understand, on Sundays, I'm up here. You want me to tell you who sat on the back row year after year after year? Be quiet, listen. You want me to tell you who taught them how to behave, how to respect the things of God? You want me to tell you the one that actually influenced our children? It was their mother. G. Campbell Morgan's one of the greatest Bible expositors of all times. And he had four sons. Each of his four sons grew up to be pastors. One day, G. Campbell Morgan and his four sons were present, and a person was there, a family friend, and he said to his son Howard, Howard, who is the greatest preacher in your family? Now, Howard had great respect for his dad. He looked over at his dad and smiled. He said, oh, the greatest preacher in our family is Mother. Well, it just bears witness to verse 26. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. And then secondly, there is wisdom in what she shuns. Not just what she speaks, but what she shuns. Verse 27. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Do you notice here, wisdom is shown in not just what she says, but the things that she does? And it's also the things that she doesn't do. I told you to have your Bibles open to Proverbs 31. All right, what are some of the things that a godly mother shuns? Look in verse 4 in your Bible. And if you'll look up at verse 1, it says, the sayings of King Lemuel and Oracle, his mother taught him. All of these things were taught to the king by his mother. Notice what he says in verse 4. She says to the king, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine, nor for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what the law decrees and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Give beer to those who are perishing, wine to those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. You understand what the Word of God says? The Word of God says, a godly mother to her son who is the king, you shouldn't drink wine and you shouldn't drink beer. You see, wisdom is sometimes shown by what you shun, just not by what you say. Do you understand what the Word of God says? The Word of God says beer and wine are for those that are miserable. Now, are you miserable? Well, then you might have a justification for drinking it. But if you're not, the Bible says you should shun certain things. Who does this come from? This comes from a godly mother to her son who is a king. You want to be a king? You want to be a prince? You want to be a ruler? There's some things you ought to shun. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. We live in a messed up world, folks. This past week, I read a blog. Y'all know what a blog is. This is, you know, a blogger is somebody that has a computer and has access to an internet, and they go there and they write their random thoughts. So here's a blogger. The blogger starts off, says, let me tell you a little bit about who I am so that you'll know the filter this is coming from. She says, first off, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again, evangelical, Bible-believing Christian. I'm a straight woman married to a man. My husband is a pastor. I'm a conservative pastor's wife. Now that you know my filter, let me tell you why I'm going to continue to shop at Target. And then she went on to say that she likes shopping at Target because she has four girls, and they have a family restroom where she can take all the four girls and lock the door. And she says, and besides that, they have cute shoes. Well, friends, I want you to know Dennis Bean's not going to buy anything at Target. I want you to know if you're going to buy Dennis Bean something, don't buy him something from Target. Okay? Because you see, if you're a godly person, there's some things you should shun. And when Target comes out and says you can use any bathroom, any dressing room of any sex that you identify with, and it's a in-your-face, poke-in-the-eye at everybody that lives in North Carolina. That's what it is. And so guess what? The American Family Association has called a boycott of Target. And as of yesterday, there are 1.2 million Americans have signed the boycott. I'm one of them. If you hadn't, I hope you'll go to it. Let me tell you what's happened in the 16 days since Target announced their transgender sensitive policy. Their stock has fallen by 7%. It has lost $3.5 billion in share value. Guess what has happened? Target has now reached out to American Family Association and says, we'd like to sit down and talk to you. Listen, folks, these people don't understand but one thing, and that's money. And if you and I quit spending our money at places like this, then maybe they'll quit poking their finger in our eye. You see? A godly mother has influence, and her influence is shown in her wisdom by what she speaks and what she shuns. And then number four, her wonder is unrivaled. And this is where I stop speaking to the mothers, and I start speaking to the children and the husbands. Notice here, we see this by the praise of her family. In verse 28, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Kids, do you have an awesome mom? You ought to tell her. You ought not just tell her today. You ought to tell her tomorrow, and the next day, and the next week, and the next month. You ought to tell her every day. Because you see, there is power in the influence of a godly mother. You want to have a great society. You want to have a great community. You want to have a great country. It's only going to happen if we have godly mothers. And I want you to know, the media and Hollywood and political correctness is all against being a godly mother. And so if you have a godly mother, you ought to tell her every day, as often as you can. You know, sometimes we can learn from little children. There's a little girl, and she had a part in a play at church. And she had a line where she was supposed to quote Jesus, where Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world." Well, she practiced it. She had it down pat. And the little girl walked up onto the stage and looked out there and saw all the people. Stage fright. Blank. She don't know what she's supposed to do. She don't know what. Mom's sitting up on the front row and she's whispering, "I'm the light of the world. Psst, psst, I'm the light of the world." And the little girl smiles and says, "My mother is the light of the world." Is your mother the light of the world? Then tell her. Then tell her. Not only by her praise of her family, but notice here by the praise of her father. In verse 30, charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now, I believe everybody, when they look in the mirror, they like to see as good an image as they can. You probably got up this morning and looked in the mirror, and you probably tried to improve on what you saw. But listen, if you live long enough, if you live long enough, you're going to get wrinkles. If you live long enough, you're going to turn gray. But I'm telling you what, What you need to do is work on what's on the inside, because you see, it can get better and better and more beautiful and more beautiful, and it's going to live forever and ever. Ladies, are you listening to me? The best thing that you can do is fear God and please the Lord. I know what I'm talking about here. I've been a pastor for 37 years. And Brother Ken, I remember the first 6 months I was a pastor, I almost had a nervous breakdown. Let me tell you why. I was trying to please all these people. I was trying to please all the people in the community. I was trying to please all the people in the church. And I was trying to please this one. I'd please this one, make that one mad. I'd please this one, make that one mad. I was about to lose my mind. An old retired minister came alongside of me and he helped me. And here's what he told me. He said, young man, you only have to please one person, and that's God. If you please Him, it don't matter who you displease. But if you displease Him, it don't matter who you please. And oh, what a great day that was in my life when I realized I only had to please one person. Folks, don't you understand? Ladies, do you understand? Moms, do you understand? The praise of your Father when you enter into eternity and He says, well done, my good and faithful daughter. It'll be worth it all. The praise of your Father in heaven. And then lastly, we see the wonder of a godly mother by the praise of her fruit. Verse 31, honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. The fruit of her hands. We're talking now about actions. You know what? We live in a society today where only the most outlandish spoken words end up as a soundbite in our media. And people say, oh, did you hear what so-and-so said? But you ever tell you how long that lasts? A day? The next day? Nobody remembers what they said. But the works of your hand, ladies, will last for all eternity. And if you desire to be a godly mom, here's a good verse to commit to memory. Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I want to share close by sharing you a true story. I hope I've got all the names and the facts correct here. But I want to just share with you the influence of a godly mother. The person I'm going to talk about is here today. I've already wondered I'm going to say this. She don't have a clue what I'm going to say. And so she's probably real nervous right now. But I want to speak to you for just a moment about one of our godly mothers. Her name is Laura Bella. She's a young mom, has small children at home. Her and her husband started attending Anthony Grove Baptist Church. Not long after that, her son, Trey, he came forward, made his decision for Jesus Christ public, and I got to baptize that young man. Let me tell you, he's not very big, but he is a state martial arts champion, okay? So if we ever have a church fight, I'm on Trey's side, okay? But let me tell you, not only is she just a godly mother in her home, but let me show you how this takes place. I told you Trey's in martial arts. Well, she meets another lady who has a child in martial arts. Her name is Joey. And guess what happens? Laura talks to Joey and tells her about what God's doing in her life and how she goes to Anthony Grove Baptist Church. And Joey comes to Anthony Grove Baptist Church. And guess what happens? Joey commits her heart and life to Jesus Christ. Joey's daughter, Gabby, commits her heart and life to Jesus Christ. And I baptized both of them. See the influence of a godly mother? But let me tell you what happened. I had some invite cards printed up, and I said, here, invite people. Well, Joey goes out in her community just handing out invite cards. Guess who they give an invite card to? Theo and Tammy Gibson. They come to church. They start coming to church. God starts working in their life. They make a commitment to Jesus Christ. And at our last baptism, I baptized Phil and Tammy. Isn't that awesome? The influence of a godly mother. Well, get this. Tammy is on my faith team. We go out and we go visiting, and we're visiting this family, Joe and Barbara. And they come to Anthony Grove Baptist Church. They make their commitment to God, and they recently united. But I'm saying it all started with a stay-at-home mom who is homeschooling her children. Somebody that the world says has no power, has no influence. It doesn't matter. But I'm here to say to you, the influence of a godly mother touches her family, touches the community, touches the church, and touches society. And we need more mamas like that. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Nobody's looking around. I want to speak to the children because everybody here has a mama. If you are blessed with a godly mother, I want you to use this opportunity right now to thank God. Your mom may be in heaven, but if she's not, and she's down here, I hope today you'll bless her like she's blessed you. Now, I want to speak to all the moms and all the would-be moms. The world might say that what you do is not valuable, what you do is not important. But I'm here to tell you that God says you have the most important work in our society. I'm here to tell you that the influence of a godly mother extends past the home, into the community, into the church. It extends all the way into eternity. I want to encourage you today. I want to challenge you today to be a godly mother of influence. Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we look around and we see what's going on in our society, God, I pray that you'll raise up godly mothers, godly women. I pray, God, that you'd raise up godly children. And Lord, I do believe that America can be great again. But God, I think it'll be great not because one man is elected to office, but I believe America will be great again because our homes will be changed by the power and the influence of a godly mother. Lead us now, God, as we make our commitments and our decisions. We'll make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.